seated this morning. God is good all the time. Man, it's good to be here. Glad you could make it out this morning. And let's, everybody that's here this morning, let's put our hands together and welcome all of our online viewers today and let them know that we're glad they're here with us too. And so it's good to be here. I don't know about y'all, but that fiddle just stirs me up. Come on, somebody. Yeah, JP. Jennifer and I, hey, give me some lights so I can see who I'm preaching to out there a little bit. I like looking some of these. I know some of y'all, I need to look you in the eye when I'm preaching to you today. No, Jennifer and I were gone last weekend. We were in Missouri, and I told them in Missouri, I said, I'm going to tell you what, the best thing about Bethel is not the preaching, it's the worship. And then the worship is good because if you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band, yeah. So it's always good. And so how many of you were here last week? Let me see, raise your hands. Didn't Cole do an amazing job bringing the word last week? And so thankful for him. And so tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hit the pause button. We're going to take a little time out. We've been in this series. This series has been entitled The Exceeding Life of Elisha. And we've just been looking at how God just kept moving and kept going and kept doing. And can I just take a minute and let you know that that's what God wants to do in your life. That wherever you are is not where God is going to leave you. God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all you can ask or think. So I just want to let you know right up front, keep charging and keep receiving the challenge that God has for you, because he wants to take you to new places and do great things in your life. But today we're going to hit the pause button. We're going to take a time out and we're going to take a week off. And the reason that we're doing that is because we're going to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Today is Pentecostal Sunday. We sing songs about Pentecostal fire and we sing songs about being full gospel. And so today is actually Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to celebrate that. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and I'm going to take just a moment and challenge you and let you know something this morning. If you maybe don't come from a Pentecostal background, that was me. I came from a Baptist background, and I'm not throwing any shade, but we just didn't talk about the Holy Spirit much in the Baptist church. We just didn't do that. And so here's what I want you to know about Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. It's what's found in the book of Acts chapter 2. It's when heaven was opened up and the Spirit of God was poured out in his fullness like it's never been poured out before. I need you to understand that we serve a God that is a triune God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here's where we need to know how important it is about the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that God the Father is sitting on the throne in heaven. And it tells us this, that he sent his only begotten Son to come and to live 33 years and to die on a cross and shed the blood that would pay for mine and your sins and offer us redemption and forgiveness. And then Jesus hung around a little bit, and the Bible said that he ascended into heaven and he sat down by the right hand of the Father. Jesus shared with all the disciples, I'm not going to leave you without help. When I get to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, to come and live and dwell on this earth with you and I. And here's what we got to know, that out of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the only form of our God that lives and dwells with us on this earth. That's why it's so important that we embrace it, that we understand that we're not walking and we're not operating in our own power, that we're operating in the power of the Spirit of God. It's such a great thing. And so we're going to look at Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, changed the church forever. And so we're going to look at how it affected those people in Scripture. And we're going to look at how it can affect you and I today as well. How many of you know if God worked miracles and gave people supernatural power in biblical times, he can still work miracles in our life and give us supernatural power today? So let's pray, and then we're going to get started. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. First and foremost, we do thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, that washes us, and that forgives us. Lord, as we try to live out this life of bringing honor to your name, as we try to live out this life in being the best man, the best woman, the best husband, the best father, the best wife that we can be, Lord, we thank you that we don't have to do it in our own power. We thank you that we can do it in your power. So let hearts be open, let ears be receptive, let there be clarity in the preaching, and let there be Holy Spirit power in this place so that we leave changed today. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So today, I want to talk about to you about two different people from the Bible. Two different people from the Bible and from the Scripture. So let's read about the first one. We're going to read Matthew chapter 26. We're going to read verse 69 through 75. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 through 75. Here's what the Scripture says. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said to him, but he denied it before everybody. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then she went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know that man, Jesus. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore, I don't know this man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. This is the first guy I want to talk to you about today, Peter. This is a picture of Peter after Jesus has been crucified. It is the last picture we see of Peter before Jesus' death. He is broken. He is defeated. He has made mistakes. He has denied his best friend three times. Peter is weeping bitterly, filled with depression. Filled with shame, filled with condemnation, unworthiness. This Peter, man, like he's no ordinary guy. He's not an ordinary guy. Do you really know that Peter was chosen by Jesus? That Jesus was going to choose a core team of 12 men, and Jesus saw Peter, and he said, I choose you to come follow me. This Peter, he was the guy that was on the boat that day when Jesus came walking on the water, and all of the other 11, they were scared to death. They were filled with fear, and you know what? Peter said, if that's really you, let me come out on the water. This is the Peter that stepped out of the boat and walked on water. This is the Peter that was with Jesus. The day that Jesus walked into the graveyard and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Lazarus was raised to life, and Peter stood there and he watched it. Peter was a guy that had been to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and he glued with the glory of Almighty God. He's a no ordinary man, but now we see this picture of him. He screwed it all up. Anybody know what that feels like? Thought you had it going on. Thought things were going good. But sometimes, and if I'm telling the truth, there was a time in my life when I was much like Peter. I thought I had it going on, and I thought I knew right from wrong, and I thought I was doing good. But then I made some poor choices, and I tried to do things my way, and I tried to do things the cowboy way, and I tried to do the way that I had seen everybody else do. And if I'm telling you the truth, I found myself in a place where I was broke, busted, and disgusted, filled with guilt and condemnation. I was just like Peter. I was a failure. That's the first Peter I want us to see. I want you to get a picture of this guy. Deny Jesus, broken, weeping, a mess, a wreck. Not only that, listen to me. Peter denies Jesus. In just a few hours, Jesus is going to be crucified and he's going to be dead. And it seems to be there's no way Peter could ever make it right. But how many of you know God can always make a way? That's the first Peter, broken, dejected. The second person I want to talk to you about is a guy that preaches with boldness. Is a guy that preaches with confidence. No longer is he worried about pleasing man. No longer is he worried about what people will think about him. The second guy stands up and he becomes a force to be reckoned with in the kingdom of God. Let's look at him. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the other 11 apostles, and he shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about it. What did he say? What did he shout? Acts 2, verse 21. Acts 2, verse 21. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Yeah. Acts 2, 36. Let's skip down. Acts 2, 36. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and all the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This second guy steps up and shouts the name of Jesus. This second guy steps up and he says, you got to repent and you got to turn to the Lord and then you'll be saved. What's the result? What's the result? Acts 2:41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. This guy preached and 3,000 got saved. I'd just be happy if three of you got saved over here sometime. Look at this man, though, in front of the crowds, in front of everyone, bold, courageous, on fire, risky, ballsy, focused on the real deal. Completely different guy from this guy. Do you see it? Both guys are Peter, in case you ain't figured that out. Let me get down here on your level. Both guys are Peter. One's Peter who screwed it up. One's Peter weeping bitterly, and the other one is Peter preaching, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ with no fear and no worry. And when I read the scripture, I'm like, wait a minute. This can't be the same guy. Like, something had to happen between here and here. Something had to change this man, Peter. So here's the deal. Let's turn to the Word of God. How many of you know the answers to everything are in the Word of God? What happened to Peter? It's sandwiched in between the end of the Gospels and Acts chapter 2. Here's where we're going to find the answer. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 49 through 53. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's about to ascend to the right hand of the Father. Here's what he says to the disciples, Luke 24, 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But you guys, stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. How many of you know we need power from heaven? We need power from heaven. Not power from the government, not power from education, not power from our money. We need power from heaven. Jesus said, stay here till you receive some power from heaven. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, lifting his hands up to heaven. He blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. So they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. See, he told them, you're going to need some power. You're going to need some power. You're going to need some power. Look at me. Look. You're going to need some power if you're going to live a life God has called you to live. You're going to need some power to raise your family in this jacked up generation that we're raising them up in. You're going to need some power to keep your marriage going. You're going to need some power to shine the light. We're going to need some power. And Jesus said to them, you need to go to a place. You need to get quiet. You need to get still and don't move and don't do anything until you receive that power. So they at least were obedient, and they went to Jerusalem. Let's skip over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. How many know sometimes we need to be told things more than once? This is the second time he tells them, don't leave Jerusalem till you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What happens when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit? Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. Write that one down. Put it in your phone. Make it your screensaver. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What changed this dejected, broken Peter into this Peter that was standing up and preaching when 3,000 people get saved? The answer is this. He was obedient to Jesus, and he went to Jerusalem, and he waited, and he received the power of the Holy Spirit. It changed him forever. Let's talk about change a little bit. How many of y'all like change? Yeah, three of you. That's stretching it, just so you know. Because you just holler, whoop, but you really don't like change. First of all, how many of you would agree this Peter, this first one I talked about, he was looking for some change. He was looking for something different. He had a desire to do something different. Can I challenge you? Can I ask you a question? Do you desire something different? Because some of us, if we're telling the truth, we don't desire anything different. We are saved. This is our attitude. This is our heart. This is the way we've always done it. It's the way my parents did it. And we're not willing to make any changes in our life. We have to seek change if we want change. We have to submit ourselves. We have to lay ourselves down and go, it's not about me anymore, but I need you to come. And how many of you know, when the Spirit of God comes, it always brings change. Peter was seeking some change. He wanted something different, and he chose to be obedient, and he chose to allow in his surrender the Holy Spirit to come and offer change. It's the promise of the Father. It changed Peter. I'm going to take a few minutes and just testify to you a little bit about my story, because how many of you know we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? And so I'm going to tell you about me. Like, I grew up going to church. I grew up going to church a little bit. We went on Sundays. That's just what we did. That's all we did. And we went to a Baptist church, Wiley Baptist Church. Man, I have so many fond memories and so many precious friends and relationships that came out of that. I was taught right. I was taught the word of God. I was taught to be honorable. I was taught to be a man of character and integrity. I had some great influences in my life. Y'all, I was so involved at Wiley Baptist Church. I was in the youth choir over there. I sang in the living Christmas tree over there, y'all. They had a big, tall old building, and they built this huge Christmas tree, and it had levels on it like this that went all the way to the top. I got to stand in the living Christmas tree and sing on Christmas. I didn't have a mic, but I got to sing up there. I went to RAs, the Royal Ambassadors, on Wednesday night. Teach young men. Like, I loved it. I loved church always from a young age. Like, I wanted to be a good dude. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I didn't want to be a sorry sucker. I wanted to be a good dude. I wanted to honor God. I have memories at church. And when I was going to church over a young man, my preacher's name was Oscar Fanning. And you know what? Up at that church, the preacher sat on the stage, and he had a little short pew about that wide. And I loved Oscar, man. I was always drawn to him. And you know what he would do for me on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Like, y'all ain't got it rough. We used to have to go to church three times a week. But Oscar would get me, and I would sit up there on stage with him behind the pulpit during the singing. Always, I wanted to be a part of something good that God was doing. We also had a song leader named Ken Mayhall. How many of y'all ever been to one of them churches like this? Ladies and gentlemen, take out your Broadman hymnal and turn to page 425. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth verses of Victory in Jesus. And he started out doing this. You know, well, I sometimes when I wasn't sitting with Oscar, I would sit with Ken Mayhall. And Ken Mayhall would pick me up when I was 3 or 4 years old, stand behind that wide pulpit, and direct the singing with my hand. I think maybe the Lord's calling me to be a part of the praise and worship team. I loved it, man. I wanted it. I had a desire for it. And I'll be honest, I got some things right. I was a pretty good kid till I was about senior in high school. But then when I got out of high school, man, I started getting around a different culture. I started getting around different people. And you know what I did? I made some really, really horrible mistakes. I made some mistakes that didn't only affect me, but they affected my family. How many of you know, For those of you that say that your sin doesn't affect anybody but you, the devil is a liar and you have believed the lies of the devil. Because my sin and my mistakes brought some shame on my family. I also made some mistakes that wrecked another home and messed up a marriage and messed up some kids. Alcohol and sex and infidelity and pride. And I told you a while ago, but I woke up when I was about 22 or 3 years old and I was just like this first Peter I was telling you about. Never, ever did I feel unworthy in my life. Never, ever was I ashamed to lift up my head and look somebody in the eye and talk to them. Never, ever in my life couldn't I just lay down in the bed and go to sleep. But I find myself at this place, and I had become the man that I swore I would never become. I walked around with my head down. I didn't want to look up with anybody. Shame. Come on, y'all. Powerful, heavy shame had overcome me. I would lay in the bed, and I could not go to sleep. I had wrecked my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was by all rights a failure. But then something happened on July the 4th, 1993. July the 4th, 1993, I was at the Stanford Rodeo acting a fool. And I actually, me and Billy Lamb won the double mugging that night. So we won a saddle. And I go to the awards ceremony to get my saddle, and here comes this woman with red Rocky Mountain jeans on. Hallelujah, bring them back, Lord. She was a little buckle bunny. She had on a pair of Justin Ropers she'd bought down at Lusky's, had a store-bought belt buckle. And when I seen her, I was smitten with this girl. Her name was Jennifer then. It's Tubby now. But we started dating and we started hanging out, and she came from a really, really good home and good parents, and they were strict church-going Assemblies of God, Pentecostal people, and I'm over here living in the world trying to be a cowboy, worrying about if I can do everything else that all the other cowboys are doing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was a clash of two worlds at one point. But she did something. Tubby said to me, "Why don't you come go to church with me?" And I was like, crap. As I was in that stage, I didn't want to go to church, but I was like, she's pretty cute. She plays the fiddle. I'm going to church with her. And I start going to church with her. And I, like, if I'm just telling you the truth, the only reason I went to church with her is so she'd keep dating me. I'm just telling you the truth. But I go to church with them. And it's this church where they're talking about Jesus and they're talking about the Spirit of God and the Spirit being present in that place. And she's playing the fiddle and her dad's playing the slide trombone and Shirley Jackson is playing the bumblebee boogie back there on the piano. And these people are clapping and having fun. And we had this preacher and he was a good dude and I love him, but he would get to talking so fast, he did this Pentecostal dance too. That's kind of, if you ain't from that old Pentecostal world, they get to going and here's what they did. I'm just telling you, the glory of God was falling in that place. And I had no clue what he was saying, but the Spirit of God hit me in the heart. And I mean, I just started getting this urge to seek more and more and more and more. And then the Spirit was moving, and Jennifer and I got married. We got married and we moved to Tongue River. And we started attending a church in Roaring Springs, Texas. Population of just a little over 200. It was this church that was growing. There was 300 or 400 people in that church. And this preacher's name was Ricky Lawrence. And he was rough and tumble back in the day. And he was an outlaw. But he had got saved and washed in the blood and filled with the Spirit. And when he preached, I never heard a preacher preach in a way that touched me. And I'm telling you, we're going to church over there, and we moved from Tongue River down to the Sixes, and it was 51 or 53 miles. I know it was a long drive, but we made that drive. And one Sunday morning on Pentecost, Ricky Lawrence was preaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I can remember where I sat. It was them old long wooden pews. I sat on the left side about 6 rows back, and I'm trying my best with everything I got to serve God. And that day, I felt the conviction, and I said, I got to get filled with the Spirit of God. I got to embrace that Spirit. I have to surrender and open my heart up so that God will pour His Spirit into me. I got up, first day I ever said amen in church, I got up, walked around bawling, squalling, snorting, snotting, and I said to Ricky, I'm a Baptist boy. I don't know nothing about this Holy Spirit, but I got to have some power and I got to have some help. He put his hands on my shoulder. And he said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And that day, he and I prayed together. And I'm telling you, at that moment, the Holy Spirit opened up, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down and set me on fire inside. It is a day that I will never, ever forget. And I'm not telling you that I've been perfect since that day, but since that day that the Spirit of God came and dwelled inside of me, there has never been a moment where I didn't say yes to Jesus Christ and shout his praises from the rooftops. It changed my life. Just like it changed Peter's life. Changed me forever. Conrad, worship team, would you come help me close? Here's what I want you to see. How many know the Holy Spirit can do what the Holy Spirit says he'll do? But what about you and I? What about us? I want you to give me your attention. 3 minutes. Peter made a choice and he was looking for change. And Peter surrendered and opened his heart up. At that moment, the Spirit came in. Cody, messed up, broken, and hurting, I needed change and I wanted change. And at the moment of surrender, I opened up and the Spirit of God came in. I want to tell you something. You got to make the choice to surrender and open up and let the Holy Spirit come in. You got to be willing to change. Here's what I want you to hear. Keep looking at me. Look, 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 look. You and I get to choose what spirit we operate in. And some of us, we continue to operate in the spirit of anger. We're angry because of this. We're angry because of that. We're angry because of our past. And that's the spirit that we operate in. It's our first response. It's the way we live. Everybody knows it. Some of you operate in the spirit of the victim mentality. You just feel like you're a victim. You just feel like the odds are stacked against you. You feel like God is not moving in your life. And so everywhere you go, that's all you're doing is, I'm a victim. My life's too hard. You don't understand what I'm going through. We choose what spirit we get to operate in. Some of us operate in the spirit of pride. By God, I don't need no Holy Spirit. I'm a good old, I know I grew up in church. I got this. Pride, everything. It's everywhere. Fear. Some of you operate in the spirit of fear. Every time something happens, spirit of fear comes out. Listen to me. You got to realize and you got to say, I'm going to choose not to be the same way I've always been. I'm going to choose to act and react differently. But you got to realize that you can't do that, and real change can't come about under our own power and in the moment of surrender. Come on, somebody. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead wants to come and live inside of you, baptize you, overflow, set you on fire, give you a new heart, give you a new desire, give you the power to say no to the old ways and say yes to God's ways. The Holy Spirit wants to come and dwell in you. You say, Cody, is that promise really for me? Is that promise still available today? Let's go back to the Word of God, Acts 2:39. Acts 2:39, Peter said, this promise, the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and to your children and to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. The Holy Spirit's available. Let me take a moment to say one more thing. Maybe one more thing. Because some of you got the spirit of pride. And you know what you're saying today already in your mind? Well, I already got filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. I don't need it again. Really? We used to sing this old song, old Pentecostal song. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning, burning, burning till the break of day. See, God, there's this initial moment. Can I take a minute? There's this initial moment where you get saved like Peter was, you get saved like I was, and then there's this moment, this one special moment where you embrace the Holy Spirit and you say, fill me, God, and boom, he baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, and you start operating in power. Well, the brighter you shine your light, the more the oil is going to go out of the vessel down low.
So you got to go back to the one that fills you up and say, give me some oil in my lamp. Give me a new anointing. Fill me back up with the Holy Spirit so that I can go shine bright once again. And I really believe there's a lot of people in church. You got good hearts and maybe you got filled once, but it's time for you to get filled up again so you can shine bright. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, because here's the deal. First and foremost, the greatest thing ever is salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you don't get the Holy Spirit without being saved. So I'm going to ask you something today. If you're here and you just happen to be here and you happen to stumble in, but you've never invited Christ into your heart, maybe you're beat up. Maybe your sins are wearing you out full of shame and condemnation. You've tried to work your way out. Can I tell you there's only one way out of that? That's through accepting Jesus. Humbling yourself. And if you do that, he will wash you in the blood and forgive you and cleanse you, and you'll be a new creation. You'll be assured of eternal life in heaven. If you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart, but you say, I want to do that today for the first time, would you just raise your hand right now? Just raise your hand. Okay, I want to pray one more prayer for you, and then I'm done. For the rest of you that are here today, if you say, I need to be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit because I need some power. Maybe you need to be refilled once again. But here's the thing. You got to be open, and you got to surrender. And you say, you got to say, God, in 2026, on Pentecost Sunday, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit, and let me accept that change and let me live in it every day so that I can produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today, I'm going to ask you to stand up on your feet, and I'm just going to pray for you right now. You don't have to come to the front. I don't care how many of you are. There's enough Holy Spirit to go around this room and fill up everybody in this room. Now I'm going to challenge you, okay? I'm going to challenge you. Refilled, filled. Here's what I want you to do. Okay, look at me for a second. You got to be open. So I'm not going to make you raise your hands, but just do it down here, however. Just open your hands, because sometimes we live life like this. Anybody? Just open your hands down here. Just let the Lord know. Let yourself know. I'm opening myself up. I surrender. Holy Spirit, begin to move in this place. Father, we thank you for men and women that have a desire to serve you. We thank you for men and women that want to be better husbands and women that want to be better wives. We thank you for men and women that want to be better moms and dads, Lord. We thank you for men and women that don't want to play some church game but want to go out into all the world and share the good news and speak the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We rejoice in what you've done in our lives, Lord. You have been better to us than we have been to ourselves. And today we gather as used to be sinners, but now we're coming in here as sons and daughters of God. Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayers. Lord, I pray you would look down and see your sons and daughters with their hands open, saying, Father, give me that promise. Father, fill me up. Some people in this room are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time, and let this be a day that they never, ever forget. Lord, set them on fire, and then give them a desire to stay filled up with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those that need to be refilled. I pray you would open their minds, give them new minds and new ways of thinking. Let them be ready to embrace change and embrace power. God, we love you and we trust you. Let fire fall from heaven. Let fire fall from heaven. Let power fall from heaven. Let change fall from heaven. God, let your glory be shining in this place, Lord. Let us leave here filled with the Spirit of God and with power, Lord. We love you and we bless you. Thank you for a fresh fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing. And